This is More to the Point Audio with Russell Moore. Proclamation and conversation about the Kingdom of Christ. Acts chapter 16, I'd like for us to start reading with verse 25 and read on down through verse 34. Acts 16, verses 25 through 34, as we reignite our look at the book of Acts and the mission that God has given to us there in those pages. Remembering that the Holy Spirit has breathed these words out through a man named Luke, who wrote them down and has sent them down through the ages of time to us today, let's listen to the word of our Lord Christ. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights, and he rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Let's pray. Father, there are chains falling all over the world right now, and we ask that they would fall here too. Most holy God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I pray that whoever in this room is in bondage, bondage to sin or bondage to death or bondage to defeat or bondage to some pattern, Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. And Father, I pray for those in this room who are living among people who are enslaved or who are in bondage. Father, would you speak to us that we might hear what it is that you're sending us out to say and to do? And we ask all of these things to the glory of our Lord Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of y'all have nightmares, but I tend to have the same nightmares all the time. I tend to dream that I find myself in a room where I'm about to take a test in calculus or something like that, and I realize, wait a minute, I forgot to take calculus. I've got to take this test, and I don't even know what it is that I'm going to be tested on. Or I'll dream that I'm getting up to preach somewhere and realize I forgot to put any clothes on. For those of you who are new, let me reassure you that is not likely to happen here, so you don't need to be worried. But I've noticed that my wife has an entirely different set of dreams. She tends to dream all the time that she's been thrown into jail, and that somebody who looks just like her has done something horrible, and she's been imprisoned for this person and can't get out of prison. And it just completely creeps her out. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even like to watch those TV specials that they put on inside the walls of San Quentin Prison or whatever it is, because it just gives her the heebie-jeebies to think about being in jail. There are some of y'all in here who've been in jail, and who've talked to me about what it's actually like to live inside prison and to know that you're not able to get out, to know that your freedom there is restricted, to know that you have all of this time in front of you before you'll ever be able even to make the decision to walk out on your own and to go somewhere on your own. The whole idea of being jailed, the idea of being held in, is really terrifying if we really think about it. Because it is something that takes away freedom. What the scripture teaches consistently is that the only way that people are able to find freedom to escape from prison walls that we may not even recognize are around us, but really are there, is through what the Bible calls the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of what this gospel does as we are going out on mission is to proclaim what it means to be free, what it means to be away from the captors and to be now in a household. But part of the problem is there are a lot of us in this room who assume that the gospel is much more complicated than it actually is. Some of you are reluctant to speak about the good news of freedom that comes in Jesus Christ to the people that you know that are in your neighborhood or in your workplace or who work right next to you at the factory or in the cubicle next to yours or the people who are standing outside shoveling snow next to your house in the neighborhood. You're reluctant to do that because you're afraid you're not going to be able to answer all the questions. You're afraid that you're not going to be able to be an expert in everything. Sometimes we assume that what it means to speak for Christ means to know everything about the Bible and to know everything about the history of Israel and what it means to know everything about every kind of question that somebody might ask. But that's not the case. The good news of the gospel is very, very simple. And some of you in this room may be still distant from Christ. And what's keeping you from following Christ and embracing Christ is you assume there's so much out there that's complex that you're not able to understand and you're not able to see. And because you don't know everything that's found in the Bible or you don't know everything that could be said about Jesus, that somehow you think, well, I'm not able to do this. I'm not ready to do this. I'm not equipped to do this. But the gospel is a free simplicity. And the mission of Christ is a free simplicity. And the Holy Spirit shows us this as He shows us how this mission is starting to go to the furthest places in the earth. Notice what the Holy Spirit shows us. He takes us to a place called Philippi. This is after the Apostle Paul has gone and picked up a disciple of his named Timothy. He meets with Timothy, leads him to faith. He mentors him there. He then receives a vision of a man far away in Macedonia saying, come and help us. And so Paul leaves with Silas and they head off to this distant land. And then once they get there, they start speaking the word. And Luke tells us here in Acts chapter 16 that when they speak the word to a woman named Lydia, the Lord opened her heart so that she could understand the things that Paul was saying, and she believed. But then something really extraordinary happens. Paul is out preaching, the text says, with Silas, his co-laborer there in the gospel, and there is a girl, a slave girl, who is possessed by a demon. When they cast the demon out, people get upset because they're using that slave girl in order to have her do things for them. And when she is free now from the demons that are oppressing her, now they've got an economic problem and they point to Paul and Silas and say, these people are disturbing the peace. These people are wrecking our way of life. These people are doing things that are going to destroy our economy. And Paul and Silas are then imprisoned. Now notice what happens here. Very few of us in this room are going to find ourselves thrown in prison tonight. But every single one of us in this room are going to experience what has happened here with these two men who are being sent forth from God. We are going to experience in one way or the other what it means to see the free simplicity of the gospel in the mission of Christ. Notice first of all that this scripture shows us that the mission of Christ means some orchestrated circumstances. Text says here that Paul and Silas are there in the prison and they are singing hymns to God. Paul and Silas would have assumed that what is happening is derailing their mission, derailing their purpose. After all, they've had the opportunity to preach and to teach and to see demons being cast out and to see people receiving the word. They've seen all of these things that are happening, and now suddenly they're confined. Now suddenly they are not able to carry on what it is that God has called them to do because they're chained here in a jail. And it seems like everything is on pause. They're waiting to get out and to do the things that God has called them to do. But that's not what's happening. Notice what's happening. It says that Paul and Silas here, as they begin to sing, the prisoners are listening to them. They are hearing the praises that are coming forward to God. And then suddenly, the text says, there is an earthquake that comes through. It rattles the prison. The very foundations are shaken. And it says in verse 26, all the doors are opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now, for people who have become very accustomed to this story, if you've been following Jesus for very long, we miss just how scary this is. If you have ever lived in a community that has a maximum security prison, just go around and say to people in that community, hey, guess what? There was an earthquake and everybody in the prison is now running out there free. That's a terrifying thought. And it's especially a terrifying thought for the man here who was in charge of making sure that none of the prisoners escape. That's his entire mission and purpose in life, is to make sure that none of the prisoners leave out of the jail. And what happens? The mission of Christ calls here for personal sacrifice in this. Look at what Paul and Silas do. I'll tell you one thing. If I were chained up in a third world prison and suddenly there's an earthquake and my chains fall off of me and the door is open and I can see moonlight and the trail to get out of there, this little cricket is going to be running out the door. I don't know about you. That's going to be my response. I'm finally free. I'm finally able to go. There might even be a way of saying, well, look, the Lord has delivered us. We're going to take the opportunity to go. But what happens? Paul and Silas see this man. They have a sense of human gospel compassion upon a man who is scared, who is in terror. The mission of Christ starts there. Paul and Silas recognize and know their lives are not all about them. Their lives are about representing the Lord Jesus. And they see a man, even a jailer, somebody that probably had mistreated them, probably had spit on them, may have kicked them into the cell, may have made fun of the name of the Lord Jesus, but they see him here in his fear, and they see him in his terror, and they see him about to take a sword and to kill himself because he can't imagine facing the consequences for the failure of his life, and the mission of Christ drives them to compassion. There are people like that all over the place. There are people like that in here today. I just had a college-age girl come see me last week in another state. And she said, I believe all the facts of the gospel. I believe Jesus was crucified. I believe he was raised from the dead. I believe the Bible is true. But I'm not a Christian. And I said, why not? She said, well, a year ago, my dad committed suicide. She said, and my mom and I found him. And it was obvious that he knew that we were going to find him. She said, and I just can't get over that. She said, and the worst part about it is I've got a lot of characteristics that are really similar to my dad. I get depressed. I get this dark feeling about me, just like he did when he was my age. I said, are you afraid you're going to wind up like your dad? She said, yeah, I am. I said, what the gospel is saying to you is you do not have to be your destiny. You do not have to go in the direction that you think you are going. There is a freedom that comes when a message comes to you and says, yes, the life that you are living right now is leading in a certain direction, but you can have somebody else's life, the life of the Lord Jesus, as His Spirit starts working through you and bringing the life of Christ into you and redirecting your life in a different direction. That mission of Christ is seeing that human fear and that human desperation, and this Philippian jailer is standing there and saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to be there. And even before Paul and Silas get to the message of the gospel, they turn and say, don't worry, we're all right here. Don't kill yourself, we're all right here. Maybe one of the reasons our neighbors aren't willing to hear us when we speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ is because of how ornery and unconcerned about their lives we are the rest of the time. Go and ask the people in this very congregation who serve in the restaurant service business what it's like to have a church group come through and not leave barely any tip. And then walk out the door popping gum, maybe hand a tract to somebody. That's not what the mission of Christ does. Mission of Christ isn't simply concerned about seeing people becoming Christians, although we're very concerned about that. The mission of Christ loves people. And the fact that we love people means that we love people in terms of their spiritual lives, and we love people in terms of their physical lives, and we love people in terms of their emotional lives. And then Paul and Silas say, don't kill yourself, don't harm yourself. We are all here. We are sacrificing our own freedom in order to save your life. That's what the mission of Christ does. But notice also that mission of Christ brings about this simple conversion. Look at what happens in the life of this jailer. This jailer would have gotten up and gone to work that morning exactly like he did every single other day. He would have dealt with prisoners in the jail like he did every single other day. And then a crisis happens in his life. God is doing something in the life of this jailer to move his attention away from the everyday and the ordinary toward what is really going on in his life. That is what God is always doing in the gospel. There are some of you right now that God is shaking the very foundations of your life, moving things around in your life right now, not so that he can harm you, but so that you can see face to face what it is that God is saying to you. This jailer here finally comes to the point where he is desperate. He doesn't know what is going to happen to him. And so what does he do? He yells out here, what must I do to be saved? Do you know why he does that? Because the Holy Spirit is present. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit brings, first and foremost, to the heart of someone a sense of desperation. I don't know what to do. The jailer can't just kill himself and escape this. He can't just run away and escape this. He can't fix this. And he realizes, I am at the point of desperation. Just tell me what it is that I need to do. How can I be delivered? How can I be rescued? How can I be saved? And notice how simple the response actually is. Look at what is said. Paul and Silas turn to him and say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That is all he is commanded to do. Just give up on what it is you are holding on to and trust. Just say, God, I don't know what's happening in my life, but I know this. I'm wrecking my life. I'm guilty before you. But I trust you that the blood of Jesus is enough for me. I trust you that the resurrection life of Jesus is enough for me. You don't have to have mapped out in your mind everywhere that you're going to be going in this new life in Christ. You may not even know what a follower of Jesus even acts like. You may not even know what this is going to be like at all. It may scare you to death to think about yourself as a Christian. And maybe every Christian you've ever known is a jerk. And you say, I don't really want to be like those people that I knew back in my workplace. But the Holy Spirit brings you to the point where you say, I can't help it wherever it is that God is taking me, but I am throwing myself upon the Lord Jesus, and I am simply saying, have mercy upon me, Lord Jesus. When you get to that point of simply looking away from yourself and looking to Christ crucified and raised from the dead and understanding and knowing He really does love you, He really will forgive you, He really will take you where it is that He wants you to go, there's freedom. Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's simple, but it brings freedom. You don't need to know when you are talking to your neighbor next to you or your coworker, you do not need to know how to read Greek and Hebrew. Thankfully, right? You do not need to know how to answer every question that people ask. There are going to be a whole lot of questions people are going to ask that you're just going to say, I don't know. Why does God allow evil in the world? I don't know. Why is it that you've got all these people who believe all these different things about religion? I don't know. Give me an outline of the book of Malachi right now. I can't do that. You don't need to be able to do that. What you need to be able to do is to say there is freedom that can be found for you if you will simply throw yourself upon Jesus Christ, repent and believe in the gospel, and love people and pray for people as you are saying to them something that is so simple. And we're afraid of the simplicity of it because we think we've got to be able to say something more so that we can convince them. But people aren't convinced by the arguments. They actually know, the Bible says, deep within their hearts that there is a God. You're not going to meet an atheist. There's no such thing. They actually know deep within their hearts, the Bible says, what's right and what's wrong. You're not going to meet anybody who really doesn't know that he or she's a sinner. No such person in the world. All you've got to do is to get behind all the pretense and all the illusion and say, would you listen to a minute to what Jesus has sent me to say to you? Surrender, believe. Simple. Freeing. It's the mission of Christ. And then notice, finally, this mission of Christ means an entirely changed direction. Look at what is happening here. He says, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, and immediately what happens in the life of this jailer, he's washing their wounds. This isn't what jailers typically do. These are hard-bitten guys who are just keeping the criminals back behind bars. Now he is freely ministering and washing away wounds of these people that he once kept in jail. Paul and Silas say to him, immediately be baptized. And what does this man do? Now that he has found freedom in Christ, now that he has called upon Jesus as Lord, meaning master and ruler over his life, it means that he's going to do whatever it is that his master and his Lord says for him to do. And what's the first thing that the Lord Jesus commands us to do? To identify with him in the waters of baptism. There are some of you in this room who may have called out upon Jesus as Lord, but you have never identified with him in the waters of baptism, and you may be saying to yourself, well, I just really don't think it's all that important. you don't get to decide whether or not it's important. If you got to decide whether or not it was important, then you would just take your name and follow it with "is Lord." Well, that's not what you're doing. Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus knows what is important. And identifying with him in the waters of baptism is important. There are some of you right here who need to, as soon as we have this time of commitment in a few minutes, come up and grab one of us by the hand and say, "Hey, I've come to know the Lord Jesus." Maybe this year, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, maybe 5 seconds ago. And I want to identify with him in baptism. Don't leave here not doing that. But that's not all that happens. Notice what Paul and Silas say when they speak to the jailer. They say to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household." That kind of disturbs people sometimes because they read that and say, well, does that mean that when the jailer believes that his whole household then is saved? No, because what happens? Bible says when they go to the house, they speak to the house about the word of the Lord. And it says that the whole family here is rejoicing, verse 34, about the salvation that has come to that house. What is happening? When this man turns and gives his life to Christ, his entire family is influenced and is redirected by the freedom and the deliverance that is being brought to that house. I just had a television producer called the other day wanting to do a program because she'd read this article that had been written, somebody saying nasty things about me, saying, "I understand that you're trying to teach Christians how to adopt children and that what you're really trying to do is to get these children and to convert them to Christianity." And that's where you have the scary theme music in the background, you know, it had actually been on television. I said, well, anybody who has children, regardless of how they get there, is going to teach those children what's important to that family. And if you're a Mormon, you're going to teach them Mormonism. If you're a Muslim, you're going to teach them Islam. If you're a Christian, you're going to teach them the gospel. Doesn't mean that they all believe, but it means that you bring whatever it is that's important to you into your household. There is nobody in this room who has a family who is not spiritually leading your family. Nobody. Question is what spirit you're leading them toward. There's nobody who's not doing religious teaching and instruction in your household. You are teaching the people in your household all the time what it is that you think is ultimate and important. A ball game, making money, Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, you are teaching that, and the mission of Christ causes this entire thing to be reoriented. They are seeing in faith, and they are believing. That's the mission of Christ. It's freeing, and it's simple. I want to say to you in this room who have never come to know Christ, stop making the issue so complicated. You're a sinner. I am too. You're under condemnation. So was I. The only way you'll be delivered is through the blood of Jesus. Throw yourself on his mercy. He'll receive you. That's all you need to know. Surrender to that and just say right where you are, "Lord, have mercy." Others of us in this room have people all around us right now who are in bondage, and we are spending our lives not concentrating on sacrificing self and freely giving toward the simplicity of the gospel message. Will we repent? We're about to sing a song together, and I want to ask you to do a number of things. If there's anybody in this room who can think of anybody in your life who needs to be freed from anything, this platform is open. We'll make this an altar and pray for those people right now. You might want to grab somebody and say, "Would you pray for someone that I have in my life? Or would you pray for me?" This altar will be open for you. There are others of you who need to come in some area of obedience. Maybe you need to say, "I have decided to follow Jesus and I want people to know about it." Maybe you need to come and say, I know Jesus and I have for a while, but I need to follow him in baptism. Come and be obedient to that as Lord. There may be some of you in this room who say, I've been kind of floating around out there. I need to be part of a fellowship of believers, and I need people to pray for me as I commit our lives here to Highview. Be obedient. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, don't walk out without seeing the mission of Christ as it applies to you. And where the mission of Christ is, there's the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that anyone in this room that you're calling to any kind of decision, anyone who has someone who needs to be prayed for, anyone who needs to be prayed for, anyone who needs to come and pray with others who are here, anyone who needs to announce that they've decided to surrender, to follow after Christ, or to identify with him in baptism, or to follow in some area of obedience, Father, would your Spirit just make that very, very plain in the life of those people? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to More to the Point audio. For other resources, check out our website at www.russellmoore.com.